thank you for supporting the media outreach of New Covenant Christian Ministries. Through the powerful preaching and teaching of Pastor Bill and Dr. Deanne Johnson, family relations are being restored. The wayward are returning to God. And together, we are transforming all people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Join us now for a message that will strengthen you in your faith and encourage you to be all that God has designed you to be.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. I am Tina Taylor. I know most of you. I am walking in the office of an elder, and it's my husband, Corey Taylor, and I thank the Lord for Daniel, Joseph, and Eden as well. Yeah. I'm grateful for our pastors allowing me to stand here. I'm grateful for the committee that asked me to stand here. When Miss Cynthia called me, she's over student ministries, and asked me to speak, I believe the Lord immediately gave me a word. And as you were walking in, your heart has already been preparing for that. You know, when you walked in, you were kind of given a choice. Maybe you stuttered a little bit. Them doors have been there since forever. But you paused today just a little bit and decided which way you wanted to go, didn't you? Yeah, and that's the Lord already tilling your heart for what he wants to share with you today. So I thank Student Ministries for preparing that. And I want to continue in that vein and continue to help you guys make decisions. So I'm going to start with my K through 5. If you're kindergarten through 5th grade, I'm going to ask you to come meet me up here in the front real quick. Kindergarten through 5th grade. This is our youth and young adult service. Yeah. All right, you guys going to look at me. You're going to look at me. We're going to play a game. So turn and face me. All right, we got a few more coming up. That's okay. Welcome, welcome. So good to see all of you. Amen. We have a wonderful children's students ministry. All of my children have come up in it, and they love it. So I'm grateful for them, and I pray that you guys continue to utilize them, and you'll see the fruit in your home as well. Amen. It's okay, sweetie. You don't have to come. You can go on back. It's okay. It's all right. All right. So we're going to play a game. My children love to play this game. It's called Would You Rather. You guys heard that game? Yes. Okay. Now, normally you on your iPad or tablet, right? And you just kind of pick which way you want to go. But this time we're going to draw a line, because the line has been drawn. Which will you choose? The line has been drawn. Which will you choose? So I'm going to raise my hand, and that's the corresponding side. If you decide this side, you will come on this side. If you decide the other side of which I'm going to speak, you will come on this side. I know y'all know. Do y'all know? Y'all know how to play the game? So I'm going to pick a side, and you just raise your hand. If you agree with this side, if I say Tuesday, and you say Tuesday, you raise this hand. If I say Wednesday, and you like Wednesday, you raise that hand. Got it? Yeah, they know. All right. All right. First thing, iPhone or Android? If you like an iPhone, you get on this side. If you like an Android, you get on this side. iPhone, Android. All right. The line has been drawn. Which will you choose? All right. Which one of you would you rather be, cold all day or hot all day? Would you rather be cold all day or hot all day? Kirsten know what's up. She know you can always put on some clothes. Cold, right? All right. How about this one? Would you rather be a great singer or would you rather be a great dancer? A great singer, great dancer. Denobi know what's up. Train well, Amanda. All right, great dancer. All right, how about this one? Would you rather live in the daytime all the time or live in the nighttime all the time? Some people in Alaska do this. Would you rather it be day all the time or would you rather it be night all the time? All right. Okay, this might be hard. How about this one, baby? Would you rather someone always clean your room? You don't have to do it. You have somebody do it for you. Or would you rather someone always cook your meals? Always cook my meals. Always cook my meals. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Yeah, Eden telling the truth. Eden telling the truth. All right, so the last one is, would you rather serve God or would you rather serve false gods? Would you rather serve God? That's a unanimous decision right there, right? We want to serve God. Amen, amen. All right, so you guys made those decisions and you made them pretty quickly, right? I want to tell you about this decision I made, and I made this decision very, very quick. I don't know if it was the right decision or not. You tell me. Okay, so I'm in high school and they invited me to go to a leadership conference. That's where they got all the other high schoolers from all over the Southeast, from Georgia, from South Carolina, from Florida, and we all met up at the University of South Carolina. Okay, and so we're there and we're hanging out, and somebody thought it was a good idea to put all the good students and mingling them up with all the bad students so that we could kind of influence each other, you know? So we're having a good week. Everything's going well. I'm walking in the elevator going to my room because it was an overnight camp, right? And I'm just going to the elevator, going to my room. Then all of a sudden, this guy runs into the elevator. He's like, and I look at him and I wonder what's wrong with him. I mean, it was just like the movies. And right behind him, a group of guys came. And you know how the elevator getting ready to shut? The guy opened the elevator like that. And I realized they were chasing him. They were being what? Say it, the big B word. Yeah, they were being bullies. And that guy behind me, y'all, he was so scared. I didn't know what to do. You know what I did? I got in front of him like this. I said, you're not going to hurt him. And that big old dude looked at me, and he said, you want some of this? You know what I said? No, I don't. Excuse me. Let me go. Nope. Sure don't. So I don't know if I made a good decision or a bad decision. I made one decision. But then I changed my mind, and I made another decision. I think I did that because, you know, I wasn't fully walking with God at that time. I knew about him. I read about him. But I think if I'd really been in communion with God, if I was really in relationship with God, I might have had a different choice. Would I have stood in front of the guy? I don't know. But if I stood in front of the guy, I would have had the confidence to know that God was there with me and that God was going to deliver me and protect me. Yeah? You guys make decisions all the time. All the time. You have to make a decision to, you know, come when mama called me or pretend I didn't hear her. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on that one. We have to make a decision whether we're going to keep our room clean or not because we already know the rules, right? And then sometimes we're in class and somebody might tap us on our shoulder and be like, hey, let me see your paper. Let me see your paper. And we have to make a quick decision whether or not we're going to let them see our paper, isn't it? Who are you going to sit with at lunch today? That's a decision we have to make sometimes, right? And sometimes it can be tough to make the right decision, isn't that, Denobi? Yeah, it can be tough sometimes. But I want to tell you this. You really only have to make one decision. If you choose Jesus, he'll help you make all the rest of your decisions. Right? All right, repeat after me. Say, if I choose Christ, he'll help me choose right. Okay, go back to your seat and say the same thing. If I choose Christ, he'll help me choose right. Amen, amen. All right, we're going to go to the book of Joshua. All right, Joshua was the leader of the Israelites right after Moses. Y'all remember the Israelites? I know Miss Cynthia and all the wonderful teachers you have taught you much about the Israelites, and they were, you know, the Lord delivered them out of Egypt, and when the Lord delivered them out of Egypt, they were traveling, and they came across so many different nations, and every time they came across this nation, they would try to be like them, and there were many times throughout the history of the Israelites that they would serve God, and then they would not serve God. And then God would say, what you doing? And then they would come back and serve God. Then they would not serve God. They didn't stay firm in their decision, kind of like I did. I was intent, but then I changed. They were intent, and then they changed. And so here we're going to pick up in Joshua where he's going to call them all together and ask them a question. So we're going to start at Joshua 24:1. We're going to read a little bit. Corey said I read fast, so I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. But stick with me. We're going to have it on the screens here. Joshua 24:1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called the elders of Israel for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, and I led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but to Jacob and his children they went down to Egypt. I also sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to what I did among them. Afterward, I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horses to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness for a very long time." So Joshua's here, he's gathering all the people, and he's telling them, this is what the Lord said. The Lord said, "I sent you here, I brought you out, I took you there, I put you here." And I'm reading all those words, and they stick out to me that God was guiding them. He guided them from one place to the next place. A guide is someone that we see that we think, oh, they know all the information. I might need to follow them because they know, right? And we trust that they know. They know where they're going. They know what's around. They're guiding us. They're leading us. And they might do that by telling us a story. They might do that by waving their hand. God did that through the moon and through Moses and Aaron with the Israelites. But he was their guide, and they was able to follow them, and every place that he took them was a good place. It worked out for him. God was a guide. Can you think of a time that God guided you? Can you think of a time that he steered you in a different direction? Maybe you were supposed to go one place and you went another place. Maybe you lost something and mama's asking you to hurry up and find it because we got to go, and you're just so exasperated, oh, help, and then you find it. That has ever happened to anybody? Yeah, that happens to us all the time. God is always guiding us and leading us to a place because he knows best. And so they could remember that. When Joshua was talking about that, they could remember that. They've been told those stories. Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember the moon by night and the sun by day and all. I remember. And then Joshua kept going. He said in verse 8, Joshua said, "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites." He's speaking on God's behalf. So through Joshua, God is saying, "I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I wouldn't listen to Balaam. Therefore, he confused you and he blessed you instead. So I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over to the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow." There were some words that kept popping up there. "I fought for you. I delivered you. I gave them into your hand." You know, in Christianese, we call that he's a deliverer. We have many songs about that, right? But on Youth and Young Adult Sunday, we're going to say hero. Yeah, Jesus is our hero. He goes before us and he makes our path straight, and he gets everything out of the way that's dangerous for us. And sometimes if we already find ourselves in that danger, he'll come in and he'll rescue us. If we've ever been bullied and we've prayed about that bully, next year we come back to school, the bully want to be our friend. Or we go to work and the bully there too. And he delivers us from the bully. We got to keep our job, and the bully, well, He updating his resume. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because the Lord is our hero. He would deliver us from many things. He can deliver us from sickness and disease. You know, maybe some of us have been sick. Maybe some of our loved ones have been sick. And the Lord has rescued us and delivered us from cancer. The Lord has rescued us and delivered us from danger, whether it be in our home, be in our street, be in our neighborhood, be in our schools. He is a hero. So Joshua gathered all the people. He said, you remember your guide? You remember your provider? I mean, your hero? And then he goes on to verse 13. And he says, I have given you the land for which you did not labor, and the cities for which you did not build, and you will dwell in them. You will eat of the vineyards and the olive trees which you did not plant. Okay, so as much as they've heard about all the wonderful things, these are also the people who have heard about the wilderness. And so now they're in this place where they can look around and see, we've conquered all of these nations, and now we're living in nice homes. Now we have nice vineyards that we did not plant. How did we get all these things? The Lord has given us these things. He has been our provider. And so when we look around and we reflect on our own life, certainly the Lord has provided for us in many, many, many ways. Things that we have wanted from our parents, perhaps, that we've asked them for, and He's enabled them to get wealth to provide those things. Sometimes, some of us, we look around adults, and the math just don't add up, but somehow, we still have. He is a provider for us. We still eat. We still have a warm bed. We're not getting rained on. And we're grateful for that. So Joshua's gathering all these people, and they amen-ing them. Oh, yes, He is our God. Amen. He is a hero. Amen. He is a provider. Let's look at verse 14. He said, now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I could paraphrase this, God's our God. God's our provider. He's our hero. So why are you serving these other gods? He said, put them away. The gods of your father, the gods of the people you're dwelling in. If you say these things are true about Him, why are you doing this? If you made one commitment here, why are you over here? I looked up those gods. Who were the gods beyond the Euphrates River? Who were the gods around the Amorites? And they got some names, but I said their names ain't worth naming. Their names ain't worth naming. So we're going to take the symbolic route here, right, in the Bible. When He says, throw away the gods of your fathers over in the Euphrates, that sounds like, to me, tradition. The old stuff. What's the old stuff? The old stuff. Let the Holy Spirit show you. That's the old stuff. Put that away. Put away those gods. Put away those sins, those behavioral sins from every generation. From even in the Bible, they talk about people getting drunk. Even in the Bible, they talk about promiscuity. This so old, even the world tell you just say no. This old. We know these things. Nevertheless, that's what Joshua is saying. You already seen this God. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Put away this God. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. It's a lot of stuff happening in that picture. It's a lot. Put away that God. Then He said, put away the gods of the Amorites among the people you dwell. I said, well, maybe that sound like trends. Maybe that sound like ideological sins. Maybe that look like that. You know, people who wave a banner. You know, I live among them, but I'm not like them. I got a friend, so I go support my friend and wave my friend flag. Not me, though. Not me. I don't do that. But I support people who do. Put away the gods of the Amorites, of the people among whom you dwell. It's hard to be in a fire and not smell like smoke. It's very difficult. Very difficult. So I want to give you guys this picture that we've read in the Bible. This is not no made-up story. My story down here was real, but it was my story. This is the story of the Bible. This is the one they want us to know. I want to give y'all a visual of this picture. Remember, Joshua, he gathered all the people. And he told them, you need to make a choice. And he highlighted their choices. He calls them to remember who God was. And those are just a few things. He's many things. But he's a guide, he's a hero, and he's a provider. And then he was fair and identified who the other people were. And he said, go ahead and choose. Now, if it seemed evil to you to choose somebody who loves you, care for you, respect you, if it's too much to follow his laws, then you can go ahead and live in the consequences of your sin. You can decide which one is you want to live in. I've asked my brother, Minister Gabe, to help me. And so he's going to come up here and help me. And we want to give you guys this visual picture of what's happening here at the scriptures. Okay, you stay right there. Okay, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Hi, I'm Godly. I follow God and I follow his word.
Hi, I'm Worldly. I follow traditions and trends.
Exodus 20. Chapter 20, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me.
All religions lead to God. Buddhist, Hindu, golden calf, golden globes. It don't really matter. Cash rules everything around me. Get the money.
Exodus 20, verse 7 also says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
They just made up words. I mean, who cares? Don't call me any of those words, but they just made up.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them.
Man, gender is a social construct. You could be a boy. You could be a girl. You could be whatever you want to be. In fact, what's your pronouns? What you want me to call you?
Once again, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill.
Who? I used to keep it in the car. Now I keep it on me. My body, my choice. My body, my choice.
You should really continue reading Exodus. It's really good. Exodus 20, verses 14 says, thou shalt not commit adultery.
No, you got to be with a lot of people, see? But you can't tell people how many you've been with. Like, you can't give out your body count, but you need to try it out. You know, if you get out your body count, people be like, oh, you've been in the streets. But you should kind of expect to be in the streets because nothing's forever. So does that make sense what I'm saying?
Not really. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness.
Nah, the Bible was written many years ago. It's been transcribed like a bajillion times. You trying to tell me ain't nobody put their spin on it? I mean, there are some good ideas in there, though.
Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Little lies don't hurt anybody. I mean, everybody lies. You know, everybody. Now that I think about it. You know what? You don't tell nobody and don't trust nobody. That should fix it. Go ahead. That should fix it. What is your choice? Thank you, Minister Gabe. The lines have been drawn. The lines have been drawn. That was what he was showing the people. You made one commitment, even with Moses, when he brought down the Ten Commandments. You said, no, we're going to throw this golden calf away. You made a commitment, and now here you are serving these other gods. He's saying, choose ye this day whom you will be served, who you will serve. The lines are drawn. What is your choice? This is not a political sermon. It's not. This is life and death. This is what we're talking about. Right. It's no longer and never has been entertainment. Yeah. It's an invitation. Yeah. We talked earlier about choices and how somebody might ask you a question. God is asking you questions. He's asking, will you serve me? You think he's the only one? You think his enemy not asking, will you serve me? His enemy asking you the same thing. Now, things not just as bold as Joshua is. There are other ways people ask. What did the people say? What were the people's responses to this? The people answered in verse 16. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us out, us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt. From the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved in us all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. That was their response. Joshua didn't take it at face value. He made them double down. He asked them again. Like we've been here before. So he asked them, you cannot serve the Lord in verse 19, for he is a holy God and he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after all he has done good. And the people said to Joshua, No. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. They wanted to be steadfast in their decisions. If we choose Jesus, he will help us choose what is right. Amen. Watching the Israelites is why Jesus had to send the Holy Spirit. See, the Israelites didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. God was gracious to them, and he's still a gracious God. But know that you don't have to walk this alone. He has given you a guide. If you choose Jesus, don't be afraid and say, oh, I don't know if I can keep the law. I can't keep it. The Holy Spirit is a keeper, and he will help you if you want to be kept. He's there to help you. Amen? Amen. I want to look at this one more time because I want to highlight and get to you into choices. So let's look at Jesus. This is an age-long line that's been drawn between God and evil. Everybody has had to make this choice. When Jesus came on the earth, he too had to make this choice. And we can see that in Matthew 5 when he's tempted on the mountain. The choice wasn't quite like Joshua said, serve God or serve foreign gods. It was a little bit like that, but it had a little spin on it. Let's listen. Verse 4, Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. That's an invitation. Who are you going to choose? Are you going to reveal yourself as the Son of God quite yet? Are you going to listen to your Father's plan that you guys created? Or are you going to do what I said do? Jesus answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He remembered what God had said and he chose God. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he should give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they should bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to them, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. He said, this man good. Let me just get straight to the point. Will you worship me? Because that's the question. That's the invitation. That's the choice. And he said, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. If Jesus was presented with these choices, with these invitations, how much more you and me? We make choices every single day. And all the sum of our choices will decide whether we have chosen Jesus or whether we have not. One more I want to look at, which is Acts 5. Jesus has been crucified, he has risen, and he has set his disciples out to go and make disciples all over the world. And they were doing just that. Some people didn't like that, particularly the people who killed him. They didn't like that. So they put him in jail, and here in Acts 5 and 25, they got out of jail, and we see the people, they went out preaching again, and we're meeting up where the people are upset because they're out preaching the word of God. They've made a strong commitment for God, and they're standing in it. And let's see what happens. Verse 25. So one came and told him, saying, "Look, the men you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them out without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. I mean, the people were liking what they were saying. The people were being changed. They couldn't just yoke them up because it's going to be a problem. So they kindly let them out. And then they brought him and set him before the council. And the high priest asked him, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Didn't we tell you to be quiet? You're getting the people all riled up. They're going to want this Jesus back, and then we're going to be in trouble." But Peter and the other apostles answered, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That's the invitation. So for some of us, our invitation is to choose God. And for others, we still get an invitation from the enemy to not choose God, to not do what he has asked us to do. But just as they have had the invitation and we have a choice, I believe that you all have a choice right now. Maybe that choice isn't as immediate, but the Holy Spirit is bringing something to mind even now that you need to make a choice about. It might be a person. It might be a situation. It might be some friends at school that the Lord's telling you about, but you want to be cool. It might be some friends at school the Lord's telling you to be kind to this person, even though everybody else may not be, and you might be a little afraid. There's some things coming up right now, and the Lord's allowing you to know that this is a choice. This is where you take a stand. I'm going to ask that you pause with the Lord. The Lord, the Holy Spirit's been helping me. Gabe's helping me. The Holy Spirit going to help me again. And he's going to bring it back to your remembrance what this is. If you want to write it down, if you want to put it on your phone. So when that choice comes up, you have the confidence to walk in it. You have the word, just as Jesus did, to walk in it. And to make the right choice. Father, we thank you so much for showing us your word. We thank you so much for highlighting what already has been, that the line truly is drawn, that in this life we will have to make a choice to serve you or to serve evil. Father, as you've brought this much more clearer to our minds, we pray that you till our hearts and you give us courage to choose you. Father, whether you're asking us to walk in the fullness of who you've created us to be, to use our gifts and our talents to glorify you, to use our voice and our hands to serve other people, to tell them about you, we ask you for courage right now. We ask you that you put in our mind those people you want for your suffering, those people you desire us to talk to, those situations you desire us to be a light in. Put in our minds, even now, that this is a choice for you. Father, we ask that you put in our minds those situations where we're being invited to serve evil. Lord, even if those invitations come from people we love and people who say they love us, God, help us to stand strong in your truth and in your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Minister to us now. greatest choice you can make is to choose Jesus. He's going to help you with all the other choices. His Holy Spirit's going to guide you into truth. And just because it might be hard sometimes, that don't mean it's the wrong decision. That just means that you need to pray more and ask some people to stand with you. I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you have not made a choice to follow Jesus, today is a good day to do that. Every day you're presented with choices. Today God is clear and He's inviting you to choose Him. Those things which you may have considered entertainment, they're choices. They're trying to lead you in a different direction. If you feel the Holy Spirit pressing upon your heart to choose Christ today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and we can pray the prayer of salvation. And you can know that the Holy Spirit will stand with you in that choice. If that's you, will you raise your hand? Father, we thank you. We thank you so very much for empowering us to make the right choice. Thank you for bringing into our minds to be more cognizant, more aware that every choice will lead us to you or farther from you. We thank you that your Holy Spirit has sealed your word and it will be displayed in your actions. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information on other products and materials, please contact us at 770-484-9300, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., or visit our website at www.newcov.org. If you're in the Atlanta area, we invite you to join us for one of our dynamic services. Once again, thank you for receiving the living word of God from New Covenant Christian Ministries, where we are transforming all people into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ.